Channel 2 Talk Radio. Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely fabulously fantastic co-host.
I'm loving that. It's Bird on a Bike, isn't it?
It's Miss on a Bike.
Yes, how you doing? Right. I'm good. You?
Yeah, I'm okay. What have you been up to?
Oh, not much here and there. You know, I'll tell you what I've been doing. That's not true, actually. I'll tell you what I've been doing.
Yeah, go on.
I have been doing a ridiculous amount of research and writing, so lots and lots and lots of interviews for the next book, which is very exciting.
Okay, hold on. I've lost track of books here.
I know, right?
Well, right, which one are we working on now?
We're working on...
We've done the one where... You got a bit sweary about your ex.
No,
that one.
We had to put it on the side, didn't we? Because
did
it was very...
Well, the lawyers got to you, didn't they?
It was like, right, okay, I weigh the risk. Isn't that what we do in business?
Yeah,
is it worth... How much money am I going to make?
Yeah, versus the legal cost.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So it was best to be shelved.
Right.
At this moment, anyway. This is the next one, which is really exciting, which is all about the wisdom of woman.
Really?
Yep. I'll leave you with that and the silence that you'll create.
I've got to zip my lip. I could think of a really good joke straight away there.
Yeah, and you'll get told off. So
yeah,
not by me either.
No, no, no.
I'd laugh.
Yeah.
But yes.
IBM used to do a thing with their manuals, that every other page was a blank page, and in the middle of it, it just used to be printed, "This page is intentionally left blank." I just thought I'd mention that.
Thank you for that.
That's all right.
Excellent. And I'll tell you what I am starting, and I said to you this a couple of weeks ago, is a women's writers club. I'm going to be sat in a cafe. I thought, well, we need some more women writers.
Yep.
So why not invite them along? My publisher is desperate. She had the annual book awards, and it was ridiculous, the minimal amount of women writers. So how can we encourage that? So that's
okay.
What I'm doing.
Good.
Well, I'll tell you what I am doing. I can't wait for this. This Friday I'm doing the audible of my book.
Are you?
I can't wait. I'm going up to London. Right, my lover. I'm going to be doing all of that on my radio.
Are you going to be doing it in pirate?
Yeah, well,
are
that's
you?
Who I am, isn't it?
Well, right, he is my lover, all right.
Well, people, and I'm really excited because for the first time, if people have never met me and they're reading my book, or they've never heard the radio show, the conversation, or anything like that, then this will be them being able to be really tangible with me and know me as a human being.
Yeah,
so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, quite right too.
Yeah, I've never been in a booth.
Which book are you doing?
I'm doing the It's Never About the Fitness. That's
right,
going
okay.
into Audible. So I'm going into a proper booth, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait. I'm going to do a few ad-libs as well and things like that.
Are you?
I think I'm Gary Vaynerchuk. That's who I think I am. So, yes. So that's it.
So you're all excited.
I am. What have you been up to?
I've been on holiday.
How was it?
Yeah, my first holiday in 10 years.
So how did it feel?
Warm.
And?
Wet.
Oh, how did it feel actually letting go?
That's making some assumptions, isn't it?
Well, no, because I know how that feels.
Shall I tell you what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Amanda said, we went to Disney, okay, in Florida. And Amanda said to me, "You're not going to tweet all the way through this. Yeah, you're going to just not tweet, right? And you're not going to get up at silly o'clock and tweet." And I went, "No, no, no." I said, "I've sorted it. It's not a problem." I took out an automation package and I preloaded all the tweets for the show and everything for the week.
Yeah.
And on the Monday, none of them tweeted.
I know.
And on the Tuesday, none of them tweeted. So, funnily enough, the guy that owns the software company was in Florida, which is where I was. So I rang him up and I went, "They're not tweeting." And he went, "I'm really sorry. Twitter changed the rules on Sunday night. None of your tweets will go out." So there I am, sat on the toilet at 2 a.m. going, "Good morning. It's Business Bunker Show Day." And Amanda going, go to bed.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I mean. And I'm the same. I find it really difficult at this minute where you haven't been on holiday for so many years of letting go of that rhythm.
Yep.
And it's not anybody else's fault. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I miss it.
Any tips? What did you do to, or did you literally just shut down?
No, I don't think I shut down. I think I just did what we were doing while we were doing it. I mean, half the time you didn't have Wi-Fi access in the park, you know, because you've got free Wi-Fi, but there's 10 million people trying to use it. It doesn't work, you know.
Yeah.
And if it does work, you want it to work with the app for the park so you know what the queuing time is for, you know, whatever you're going to see. Space Mountain or whatever. But no, it was good. We had a really nice time. We had a nice time.
Nice.
It will work well. It's better than the people that came home this weekend.
Why?
You see that? British Airways. Whoa. 77 hours to get back from Orlando to Heathrow.
Nice.
Yeah. First of all, the plane broke down on the apron, so they sat there for hours while they tried to fix it. Couldn't fix it, so decamped everybody. They had to spend a night in Orlando Airport. Next day, they got a plane, ostensibly to take them to New York to catch another plane. It got halfway to New York and had to turn around and come back because it developed an engine fault. Yeah, so they ended up back where they started. Yeah. And it just went on like that. And it was one of those where they were never going to get home.
And as a business, how do you recover from that, you know?
But I was following the story on Twitter of everybody getting madder and madder and madder. And the single biggest issue, as with always, was the lack of communication.
Yeah.
They were leaving it to other people, airports and stuff, to tell people. And they don't know any better. You know, in those situations, you're far better off being honest by going, look, mate, we ain't got a clue. All of our planes are bloody broke and we can't get an engineer anywhere. You're going to be stuck here hours. So, you know, do something about it.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know...
Travelling's stressful.
It is stressful at the best of times.
Yeah, it's
you know,
not enjoyable anymore.
I hate to think where everybody's luggage went.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, unbelievable. But our flight home was brilliant. We went Norwegian Air and it was fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Dreamliner, 787. First time I've been on a Dreamliner.
What's that mean?
It's a Boeing. It's a plane.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No, it's really nice.
Good.
Yeah. Good. So where have you been? You're still not telling me, are you? You've been to Africa, haven't you?
No.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah. Warm, was it?
It was, oh, you'll laugh, because I obviously was running. I had to stay in this complex and I'm running around and these people are like looking at me. So I'm white, blonde, in Africa. They're all like, this crazy woman's running round and round and round and round. It was just brilliant. It was warm, not too hot, not too cold. It was just lovely.
Okay.
Lovely, lovely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was able to just focus. Well, and there we are.
Yeah.
Good.
You don't want to talk about it, do you?
Not really.
No, okay.
Do you see what... See, you don't have to worry now. This is what happens. This is what happens.
Yeah. Well, anyway, listen.
Go on.
We want to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. Now, listen, though, the phone doesn't ring in the studio. It blinks, and I miss it most of the time when people ring in. So if you're going to ring, it's best to tweet first and tell me you're going to ring, and then I'll see it.
What's that all about?
I know. Well, every week people say, I try to ring in, and I go, I didn't see it flashing.
We used to have it. Do you remember in our old studio it used to ring?
Yeah. But if you
remember... Because I rang it.
Yeah, I know. But if you remember, the trouble with that is when it rang in the studio, obviously you just picked it up on the microphone.
Yeah.
And the last time we did that, it was a guy trying to sell things.
Oh, yeah, it was.
He did a brilliant job, though, because I kept him on. I can't remember what he was trying to sell. He was trying to sell something. And I said, well, you've just rung and you're live on the radio. And he went, oh, okay, well... And then he went into his sales spiel anyway. So I went, well, really? How much is that? It's 14 quid. Oh, right, good. It's fascinating radio.
Yeah.
No, so we took away the ring and put a little flashing light on the edge of the phone.
We need a big one, like a Batmobile phone or something.
It's next door in the other studio.
Well, it's not worth being in there, is it?
Ah, well, that's for that studio.
Can't
we've got
we have, like, a Belgian beacon.
We've got
on
a cloud phone now, mate. We're all high tech, yeah. We're all high tech, boy.
Geese. Excellent.
Yeah, anyway, so you can call me on 01233 220035, or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of me is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BeBunker. And we have had quite a few trillion tweets already.
Have we?
Yeah. Do you want to read one? Or an email?
Oh, I wasn't expecting to do any work. Here we go. I'll tell you what, this is amazing, this one is. So this is from the FSB Southeast, and this is Women in Business Brunch on the 13th of November. And the guest speaker is me.
It's you.
It's Sarah Ann Lucas.
Yeah.
Burdener Bike.
I was going to read that one.
Go on then.
No, you read it now. You started reading
it. We can
it.
Do it as well. So it always makes me laugh when you read out your own bio.
It's from Sue Hainsby, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, Carlene Cleaning.
I'll tell you why, because Sue's taken over the Dartford one and she's super, super excited. So she wanted me, Bird, can you come and open it up? And I, of course I can, love. So it says to me that I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a writer, I'm an international speaker, I'm a radio presenter. Who knew?
Who wrote that?
I think it wasn't me, because I don't write that. No. It's really interesting about bios. And this is, we've talked about this before, but when I ask people for their bios for my show, they give me this A4 page. I only want to know a couple of things. I want big, big things, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I there's nothing, I bore myself. When I go to networking meetings, people go, what are you doing? I go, oh, Christ.
Businessman.
Yeah, I just swan around.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easier by the time you're trying to list everything you do.
I went in to get some carpets yesterday, which is very funny, Adam, sorry, but if I'd known you were coming in, I would have spoken to you before. I went in to get some carpets yesterday, and the guy was talking, and Louis was in with me, my little one, and this guy was chatting away, and he said to me, what is it that you do? So I told him, and he's like, like you just said, and you're like, I feel such an idiot when you start telling people. And he's just having a chat to Louis saying, oh my God, about your mum, blah, blah, blah. And you just don't want to say too much, do you? So anyway, I'm talking at the FSB on the 13th of November, and it's about role modelling. The FSB are massive into women role modelling so that we can encourage more women to come into business.
Okay, cool. Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah.
And where is it? Where is it taking place?
Dartford, I think. I'm doing a U. Go on, ask me what I'm talking about.
Yeah, No. First of all, we need to narrow it down a bit from Dartford, really, don't we?
London. Is that London?
Yeah, Dartford will be London soon. It's about to become a London borough. But,
there we are, then.
But there must be somewhere in Dartford that is happening.
Yes, at the FSB South East.
You don't know, do you?
This is my normal thing. You've taught me well, I tell you. Let me have a look. Carry on. Keep filling
it. Okay, fine.
Nobody will know anything.
Well, I want to tell you about something I've just come across.
Northfleet. That's where I am.
So it's not Dartford at all. It's Northfleet.
Northfleet area. Yes. There we are. It's at the Base Point Business Centre at Northfleet. Is that not Dartford?
Yes, it's near enough. Near enough. It's at Base Point.
Yeah. There you are then.
Yeah. Okay.
Who knew?
Cool. It's actually quite nice there at the Base
Point. Do I have to go across the bridge or not?
No.
Excellent.
No, you go up the escape road and up to Prince's Road and straight across the roundabout and then turn left and then turn right.
But God help you, because I'm there until 12 and then I've got to come straight down. So I've said to them I'm going to have to leave pretty quickly because we're on Business Bunker next week.
Blimey.
I know.
Don't be late.
I won't be late.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I want to tell you about something I've come across. This is stonking. This is really stonking. And it really blew me away when I heard about this. It's a chap called Scotty. Okay, and he's based in the world of Kent in the Cranbrook area. And Scotty, Brian Scott, he maintains and fixes classic cars. And he has a classic car workshop. And he started taking students, young people with issues, and just getting them involved in looking after the cars and supporting the cars and stuff like that. He's doing a fantastic job with them. It's called Scotty's Retro Workshops. And as I say, they supply parts and they fix and maintain classic cars. But this big thing is that he's giving young people experience in the workshops of working on these things, and especially young people who have had issues and problems at school and stuff like that. So he needs lots of support. And the best way of doing that is to follow him on the Twitter. Scotty's Workshop is Twitter. That's Scotty, Scotty's Workshop. And also check out his website. It's fantastic. There's loads of interesting stuff on there. And that's scottysworkshop.co.uk. Sorry, Scotty's Retro Workshop. .co.uk is the website. Scotty's Retro. I can't speak. Scotty's That's not easy, is it? scottisretroworkshop.co.uk is his website. So check it out and follow him on the Twitter and see the work he's doing. There's loads of stuff on Twitter, loads of stuff on his website about the kind of things he's doing. And do give him some support because it's a fantastic thing. Bird.
Well, more about the FSB, and they've got a brunch, and this is from Deborah Turner. We love her. You Image Consultancy. And this is, can they have a shout out, please, for the big brunch on the 4th of December, and that's at Eastwell Manor at... and she wants me to mention that I'm speaking at Bays Point North as well. I've done that, Debs, I've done that. But this is the big brunch on the 4th of December, and that's at Eastwell Manor. Go and check it out.
Fantastic. Mm. Thank you. Do you know what?
Are you going to do it already?
What?
The song.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's 19 minutes past one.
It's late then, isn't it?
Yeah. Guess what I'm going to play?
It could be rude at me. I've got no idea.
Sit.
No.
This is a kind of funked up version. It's Africa, isn't it? Toto.
Hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words. Melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. Gonna take the life to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bless the rains down in Africa. Cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday the 6th of November with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely adorable bird on the bike.
Thank you.
That's all right. You didn't recognise Toto then.
Well, no, but I should have, and I knew that you would be just bang on winding me up.
Yeah, I know.
Good, well done.
I'm predictable, aren't I?
Yeah, thank you for that.
That's all right.
Yeah, cool. Stephen's enjoying listening to me struggling.
Yeah, it's a great song, though, isn't it?
It
really
is.
It's one of those classics, yeah.
Yes.
Cool. I've had a tweet from the lovely Karen Ortiz, and she's got a workshop going down in early January on SEO for businesses. Learn how to improve your website visibility with Noruchi Digital, which is her company. And it's interesting. She's holding it at Fruitworks in Canterbury, but she's also holding it to support the charity The Street Soccer Foundation, which is a foundation that helps homeless young people. So it's an interesting combination of things going on.
Keith is smashing it.
Keith Mads, yeah.
Yeah, he's absolutely smashing it, and he's doing it with Fran Borman.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've opened up Goal 17. Really interesting. I've got him coming on the show, on my show, which is the conversation on a Wednesday.
Is it on a Wednesday? What time's it on a Wednesday then,
bro? It's on 1 till 2. It's a global radio show. We've got a very big audience in America,
I've never heard of it before.
And they're coming on the 5th of December.
I know.
To talk about their journey, to show us how they actually built from zero to where they've just got new offices and things like that. So I'm really excited to hear from
them. It's a fantastic charity. It's clustered around sport. It deals with boys and girls, young people, through the auspices of football. But it's taking young homeless people and giving them a focus in their life through sport, but also giving them training in other areas to help them get work and things like that. It's a really clever thing. And I just need to tell you this, because nobody believes it. They've got loads of supporters and sponsors. And during the summer, each of the sponsors were filmed doing a number of football trials. And they competed against the young people that are on the course, okay? And I was the last one on there. I won't give away what happened, but yes. And apparently they videoed it all, and apparently my video comes out the week before Christmas, so do look out for that. That's all I'm saying. Cool.
Interesting.
What you got?
Well, I'm going to go in some emails. The Chancellor used his budget speech to confirm that increased national minimum wage and national living wage rates are due to come into effect on the 1st of April 2019. The NLW first came into effect on the 1st of April 2016 and is the minimum hourly rate that must be paid to those aged 25 or over. And from April the 2019, the national living wage will increase by 38p to £8.21, and this represents an increase of almost 5%. Now, the hourly rate of the NMW, which is the national living actually, no, it's the national minimum wage.
Yep.
For 21 to 24-year-olds will increase to £7.70, a rise of 32p. And the rate for an 18 to 21 or 18 to 20-year-olds will increase to £6.15. So that's a rise of 25p. And the rate for workers above the school leaving age but under 18 will increase to £4.35, which is a rise of 15p. So the NMW rate for apprentices increases by 20p to £3.90.
I'll just make a statement there. If you're in Kent and you're going to hire an apprentice, you ain't going to be paying them £3.29 an hour. I'm just letting you know that, yeah? Because that's far too low.
Good. Yeah.
You won't get anyone. You won't get anyone for under £200 a week, and quite right too.
Yep.
You know, it costs more than that in bus fares and sandwiches to get to work, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just...
So it is a minimum. It's not mandatory, yeah? You can pay more, and if you want an apprentice, you will have to pay more. But otherwise, it's all creeping up nicely.
Yeah.
Mm.
Interesting.
Good. I've had a tweet from Deborah Turner.
Have you?
Yeah.
What is she saying?
She says, hello, Vanilla Web. Could we have a shout-out on the Business Bunker, please, for the FSB Kent Women in Business Big Brunch on the 4th of December?
I did it.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Is that the same one?
Well, I did both.
Oh, right, okay.
You don't listen to me.
No, I don't, because she's got a whole list of people, but this one's at Eastwell Manor.
That's what I said as
well. Oh, you did that one as well? I was so fascinated by the one about you and where you didn't know you were going that I didn't hear that one.
Visit my careers options.
Thank you.
On stand 411 this week at the Education People Show at Kent Event Centre on the 7th of November. Find out how we can help you and your school achieve the Gatsby benchmarks.
Yep.
Let us tell you about our bursary programme to help support all students in Kent with our own My Careers Options Top 10.
Cool. My Careers Options have an online platform for parents to help their offspring determine what kind of careers options they have. It's a really interesting move. They did a survey of parents to find out how they felt about this, and 17% of parents said they wouldn't bother to help. No, if it was free. Yeah, really?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. But it's a really useful platform. And at the Kent Event Centre, I think it's Wednesday, tomorrow, manana?
The 7th.
It's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, gosh. Where's it going?
The Education People's event. So if you're at all interested in that, get along to it. It's a big exhibition. Mm. Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, there's a tweet for you here from Fruitworks.
Is there?
Yeah.
Right. You want me to read it?
Well, as it's to you, it's addressed to you. I wouldn't like to open it.
Well, I haven't got it yet.
Haven't you?
No, I was just about to go on to Lemon Creative, but carry on. You carry on.
Well, sorry, you do Lemon
Creative.
Oh, hold
on. I found it.
Have
I
you?
Found
go
it.
On, yeah.
Fruitworks Co-working. Hey, Bird and Bike and Vanilla Web. But they're going to put me first, aren't they?
Yeah.
B Bunker shout out, please. We have some fixed desk spaces available, and that's at Fruitworks Co. Come and join our community. Details are at fruitworks.co. So that's in Canterbury, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Yeah. Great company.
Yeah. Fantastic, aren't they?
They're amazing. I love me more than you.
Yeah, do they?
No.
Yeah. good stuff. We've also had a tweet from The Chic Stylist. And she says, hi, Business Bunker. I'd love a shout-out, please. On the 21st of November from 6.30 to 8.30 at the Village Hotel Maidstone, it's the Awesome Confidence Masterclass. Tickets can be obtained here. Which is, Twitter have shortened the link. Sorry, I can't read that. And there'll be talks on style, fashion, makeup, demos and skincare. There'll be cupcakes, goodie bags and lots of giveaways. So if you want to find out where it is and to book your tickets, if you follow the_chic_stylist, you can then look at the link. I think it's Awesome Confidence, but I can't see the rest of it.
Yeah, I bumped into Julie at the LinkedIn.
Yeah. You went to the LinkedIn event?
Yeah,
did you?
Yeah, it was really big. It was really interesting place.
I heard.
Everybody was there. It was like,
I wasn't.
Well, you were on holiday.
I was in Florida.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was very funny. It was like, usually Mr. Andrews is normally emceeing everything.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not here. He's away on holiday. Mm. So it was really interesting. Bumped into her then and was saying about that event she's doing. Lemon Creative. Mm. Hey, Vanilla Web and Bird. Business Bunker, please shout out to Kent Creative Agency at Lemon Creative UK, now finalists in the National Solutions Award. We need more votes to win for our incredible fifth year. Vote for our beautiful argan skin designs at earthisland.co.uk/solutions. So go and check them out. You've got 1 week to go and do it, to give them a vote. They love doing that, don't they, Lemon? Do you remember when they were in Lemon Creative?
Yeah, true, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Yeah, they kind of, they're graphic designers. They design packaging and yeah. stuff, don't they? Yeah, yeah, it's good.
Now, Drew's a classic, wasn't he? Do you remember? So we were talking to Adam, weren't we, earlier, yeah. and Drew wouldn't even speak, would he, on the first time he came in? And then he's, like, really into it. He's like, Bird, this is great. Couldn't stop him talking.
Banged the table and everything,
exactly.
didn't he?
Got yeah. the look, didn't yeah. he?
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Well, we can't have a song.
You're not going to sing for us?
No.
Oh, that's ruined the rest of the show. I thought we planned
this. I'd
like
this. To hear from a guest.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
Well, that's lucky.
Yeah.
Well, that is so lucky that we're going to hear from a guest now. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the first time, I think, Councillor Roderick Hogarth, who's the Mayor of Sevenoaks. Roderick, welcome.
Thank you, Paul. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's lovely to see you. Thank you so much for coming along. I'll tell you what, why don't you kick off by telling people a little about you personally, your background, and I know you've got a deep background in business. So give us a little overview of that, and then we'll talk about the role as Mayor of Sevenoaks.
Well, I'll give you the very short version yeah. of my business career. I'm quite at the end of it now, I think, although the company...
I keep saying that, but it doesn't happen.
Yes, the company I work for, which is IMSM Limited, which is an international standards consultancy,
right.
Keeps offering me two-year projects, which I'm afraid I keep accepting. So
yeah. It goes on forever, you know.
At least another couple of years to go. but my interest in local government has always been there. I can remember cycling around at an election at the age of 12, helping the telling returns be taken back to the sort of campaign headquarters at the time. And so the mechanics of democracy have been very much something that's fascinated me for years.
I was going to say, actually, that was it a political thing that motivated you, or just the whole feel of running a campaign? Or a bit of both,
well,
of course.
Funnily enough, it was the mechanics of it. It was the whole thing of running a campaign, understanding how, on a practical level, democracy works, and really learning at a very early age that actually every single vote counts. It is something that a lot of people say the opposite to, but actually I've seen it. And now I've been in three or four local government elections as a candidate, and you stand on the evening of the count watching the individual ballot papers be counted, and you look with fear at the one that doesn't go in your little pile, and you want it to grow and grow, and everyone else's seems to be growing faster than yours. Every vote does count. And one year there were spoiled ballot papers because there was a bit of a protest going on, and actually every single one was read by, you know, the person controlling and teller, and shown to the candidates who were asked to, accept that they were spoiled ballot papers. So it is an incredibly detailed process that is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm smiling because I've been there once. I stood as an independent once, and I'm standing there watching and going, that's mine. That goes on my pile, that one. I could see that. And,
it's a
and
thrill,
then
isn't it?
It's the sport ones, aren't it? I go, well, I can read it, it's for me. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
So, that's fascinating. But I was fortunate enough after I was able to step back a little bit from work and make a bit of a space to be elected as a town councillor in Sevenoaks almost 12 years ago now.
Right.
That has been a really exciting experience. That Sevenoaks Town Council is one of the top performing parishes. It's the third tier of local government. It's the closest to the people. We have a town of about a population of about 18,000. It is well known globally as a town. It's not a quiet little backwater like Ashford,
and it has and, 8 oak trees now,
and in fact and we've had that joke so often that, when I was a new councillor, there was a decision made by the council every year to plant an oak tree, so right. we now have 9, 10, 11, 12
now.
Another dozen at least.
12 oaks,
and I've planted one of them.
Have you?
And in fact, as town mayor, you get to plant trees. So this morning I was out with Sir Michael Fallon planting two trees, or he was planting the trees. I was observing with the chain on, and he was planting them for the Queen's Canopy Project, which is to increase the number of trees that are planted in the country. And great.
I just on that, I was reading the other. This fascinates me. I won't bore you with the details of how I got to where I got to with this, but I was looking at the census data about England, and I was amazed to find that there is now as much woodland coverage in England as there was at the time that the Domesday Book was written. It's amazing, isn't it?
Very good fact.
That's amazing.
Wow.
1,000 years later, and we've got as much. We went through a period where a lot of it disappeared, but now it's been coming back in one form or another. And just on that, also, the other thing that just I had to read it four times, less than 10% of England is actually built on.
Yes.
That's amazing when you think about it. And once that strikes you, I drive around and I go, well, that's empty, that's empty, that's empty, that's empty.
Yep.
Incredible. Anyway, coming back to Seven Oaks, 12 Oaks, you're the town mayor, Roderick. Mayorships have kind of got a bit confused now because we have some places that have mayors that are actually in charge of budgets and executives and stuff like that, and some mayorships are ceremonial. And you're the mayor of Seven Oaks Town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the role and how one acquires that role and what's involved in that role.
Right. Well, for us, it's not directly elected by the population. Mm. It's appointed by a vote of the council itself. Mm. So you have to, by definition, you have to be a councillor in order to have a chance of becoming mayor. Mm. And that's something I've had the privilege to do once before. Mm. A ceremonial role. It's politically neutral. It is something that actually has stepped up. 5 years ago when I did it, my wife and I went to something like 280 events as mayor and mayoress. This time we think we'll easily be into the 400s.
Really?
This year's a very special year, of course, because we have the centenary of the end of the First World War.
Yeah, sure.
And there have been so many events in the build-up to that, especially the last 100 days from August onwards. And all communities around the country have been helping to mark that sequence of events in their own way. But Seven Oaks has a wonderful historian, Matt Ball, who I'd certainly recommend. It's very good value to get on radio. He is so knowledgeable. But he's been doing a series of talks and published a new book on the lives that he's found by researching the local graveyard. So it's not just the names on the war memorial. He already did a book on that, describing and tracking each of the names. But now he's looked beyond that to the people who maybe died afterwards or who were bereaved or who became orphans and so on. And the stories that you are able to see in his new book are really touching and give a real insight. And for instance, we did not know, most people in Seven Oaks, I'm sure everyone didn't know, that actually thousands upon thousands of soldiers were billeted in Seven Oaks.
All right.
Population at that time was more or less doubled or trebled.
Where were they billeted? Noel Park or something like that?
In Noel Park, in homes, in people's gardens, everywhere.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Everywhere. It was because it was obviously a training ground and a staging post to bring troops to the front.
Okay. Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about the town. One of the things I love about Seven Oaks is it does have an incredibly strong community. And I'm saying that as an outsider. And I see it quite a lot. I do some events. Seven Oaks Town Partnership stage an annual business awards, which I'm very proud and privileged to MC every year. And it gets bigger every year. The amount of businesses, both national businesses and local businesses in Seven Oaks, is astounding. But the thing that always impresses me most is how big a community Seven Oaks is. It is really a very, what I call, an integrated town. Do you know why that is? What makes it like that?
No, I can't put my finger on it, but you're exactly right. I mean, if you look at the number of social groupings that you can find almost anywhere, you can go into Alice's Tea Shop at the bottom of St. John's on any morning and you'll find knitting groups or young mother groups in there. You can go to many other places that are public spaces where there are things going on. Around the Vine cricket pitch, there are always these what do they call them? These exercise groups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Almost like
yeah.
some military campaign yeah, to, yeah, to yeah. Where you are.
Yoga mums.
Where you're done. And we and yes, and we have Seven Oaks Lady joggers. Mm. We have Oaks blokes out there jogging through the park, and yeah. and our sports. You know, the number of youngsters who participate in sport in the town is hundreds, if not thousands, every weekend. All of our sports things are bursting at the seams with enthusiastic members and parents.
Funnily enough, I saw a tweet coming earlier. I'll read it later from the Seven Oaks Sports magazine talking about some things that they're doing. I'll read the tweet a bit later. Yes. But
and we have very active senior groups as well.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud to say that actually we've just introduced an experiment. Wearing a slightly different hat, as you may No, Paul, I'm a district councillor as well. Mm. And so it's been a real pleasure for me under that guise to introduce a proof of concept idea, which is the district council acquired a retail shop on the high street of Seven Oaks as an investment, part of its investment strategy. The ground floor is occupied, but the upper two floors were empty office space. We were wondering what to do with them. So I persuaded the council to look at projects that were going on in London with displaced artists.
Oh, okay.
London, there's a lot of regeneration going on there, and the low rent places that artists typically occupied are now being demolished and replaced with very, very high rent residences. But there are one or two groups or organisations that are trying to find within the new development space for artists. And one that's actually located in husband and wife team, Nicole and Matthew, located in Shoreham. I know, I think they moved to Chevening recently. Anyway, they're in Chevening, but reasonably local. I got to know them, and we talked about a project like that in Seven Oaks. Mm. And in fact, it opened this summer. We've now got 20 artists in residence. It is 100% full. It is, and in all the projects they've done in London, they have never had such a fast uptake.
Well, okay.
And so now we've kind of parachuted in this cohort of artists into the centre of Seven Oaks, and I'm just waiting to see what will happen there.
It's interesting, isn't it, with all those kind of things, especially for us in the southeast of England here, property space is just so ridiculously expensive. The kind of things that you used to be able to do from a bohemian point of view are just almost impossible now. Yeah. Even if you've got money as a business, it's almost impossible to find space.
Well, that's the key. Artists, it may be a hobby, but generally artists are not people who are loaded with money.
Yeah.
So these had to be affordable rents, and we were able to construct something that worked for everything. And I'm immensely grateful to Peter Fleming, who's the leader of the district council, for helping to put that in place, and to Second Floor Studios, who are the company that designed and developed that project for us.
While we're talking about projects, I don't know if you have any information on this, but there's also the project with the Bat and Balls Station.
Well, now that's really warms my heart, because that's a town council project that literally came out of nowhere. Mm. It is funny, when you start thinking creatively about areas, you realize there are a lot of things that people would say you can't possibly do that become possible. Mm. And we set about several years ago focusing on the bat and ball area of Seven Oaks as needing something that would reinvent it.
Yeah.
Our community center is there, so our first thought was, well, maybe we can make what is a very old, tired building renewed, and we are going to do that. But out of that whole process came the idea that the adjacent station, railway station, the Bat and Ball station, which is the original station of Seven Oaks, had been unused for years. The station is active, but the actual building was shut. And
so trains go through there still.
That's right. They stop, and people. Mm. It's quite active, because a lot of the school pupils will travel to the school, or arrive in Seven Oaks to go walk to the school from there.
Yeah.
So we thought, this is actually an area that's possibly a little down at heel. And we fell into conversation with Southeastern and Network Rail. And all of a sudden, it became a project where we, the town council, agreed to take it on. We applied to Heritage Lottery Fund. They were very kind and gave us a huge award to help with the renovation. We worked with the conservation officers. We got the appropriate planning permissions. And now it's due to have its sort of what I'd call a soft opening in later this month. And its full opening early next year. And it will actually give public space. The ticket hall is a magnificent space.
But we'll have it's a kind of Victorian building, isn't it?
It is a wonderful Victorian building. In fact, Queen Victoria visited Knowle by train arriving at Batten Ball Station.
Wow, okay.
So we're really excited to bring that back into life as a community space and looking forward to it. And in fact, for the soft opening, actually it's more than that probably, because we have Michael Portillo coming to...
Choo-choo. Yes. Choo-choo himself.
So Mr. Railway will be down there celebrating along with us.
Fantastic. No, it's good. And there's some fabulous projects. One of the other things I like about Sevenoaks Town is, I'm not trying to start a rant about this because I could quite easily, there's a lot of stuff talked about the High Street and the death of the High Street, but that certainly isn't the case in Sevenoaks. Sevenoaks has a very vibrant High Street and it has a nice mixture of chains, national chains, and independent shops. But if you walk down Sevenoaks High Street, unlike a lot of other high streets, there aren't gaps. Obviously, there are always some shops available or some offices available, but it is a thriving high street. Have you any idea why Sevenoaks succeeds where other high streets don't? Although I do have one reason that to blow Roddy's trumpet, I guess, is... One of the big advantages of Sevenoaks is you can blooming park there. There's a lot of car parking space in Sevenoaks.
Well, and the district council is adding to that as well. Yeah. So okay. It is convenient. But Sevenoaks, yes, again, I don't have. There must be multiple factors at play there. There is a turnover.
Of course,
Sevenoaks evolves. I can remember when 20, 30 years ago, people say, oh, it's all charity shops, it's terrible, the death of the high street. And then it went, oh, it's all estate agents, everyone's just opening up estate agencies. And there were too many of those, apparently. And then it was, oh, my goodness, look at all these opticians. How come there are so many opticians opening up?
Where can't see them.
And then more recently, it's been coffee shops.
Yeah.
And this is really tracked through, certainly the coffee shops, is that there is... an aspect of Sevenoaks which is experiential. You can come to Sevenoaks and do things. You don't just come in to shop. And that's why coffee shops are so popular, because they're kind of a stopping point for you when you're doing other things. And I would like to say that richness, which has encouraged sort of independents to open and to maintain themselves in high rent areas. These are not low cost areas, but we have a number of really successful Sevenoaks businesses that started really small and are growing, like the Chinaman. It's a fabulous China shop that's got a global presence now. It's on our high street. The Danish Collection, another really successful retail shop, which I'd encourage everyone to come and visit. It's an amazing thing. And I could go on and on.
Yeah. I think you kind of nailed it a little bit for me there as well, though, because what you described there was the evolution of the high street. And that's my thing. You know, people go, the high street's dying. I go, no, it's not. It's evolving. Leave it alone. Stop messing around with it. It will find its own level. And I think you just described in a microcosm 25 years of evolving high streets, that they go through these different changes of how things happen and where things happen. Yes, currently in Sevenoaks there's a lot of eateries and coffee shops and stuff like that. It's what people want. That's what makes it a thriving town, because certainly in the summer, because it's a tourist destination as well, with Knowle Park and what have you, but people sitting out at street cafes and all that kind of stuff is what gives it some life and some vibrancy. We will keep interfering with things and trying to save things that don't need saving, and it drives me nuts. But Sevenoaks is one of those places that seems to let it happen. Yeah,
I always love when you all come on. So we've had a couple of, we've had some couple of councillors, and I love it having tangible politicians, or not. How much strength do you hold in change and adaptation in the community, Roderick?
how much strength.
Yeah. Are you able to see change? Because we often talk about the MPs and they're not in that local level and nothing's changing and they're not hearing.
They kind of talk about it at a strategic level, but don't make it happen.
And we've got you here. Mm. Do you see that you actually have the power and strength in your community to encourage and evolve and us grow as a community?
It's a constant conversation between the community and the council, and that channel of communication is vital. And I think Sevenoaks as a town does that very well, and Sevenoaks as a district across the whole district does that very well. We've had many consultations which can be very boring and local governmenty, but they have actually produced a lot of creative thinking. So we've given people a voice, individual people, an opportunity to come forward with constructive ideas. Of course, there are other consultations which you just get the NIMBY approach in response, but actually the ones where it's encouraged creativity have really come through in spades for us. So we can, I think, get a sense of what are some of the dynamics at a very kind of micro level and see where opportunities are for the councils to play a role in that. Because as Paul quite rightly said, we can't direct that there are so many bookshops maintained on the high street. Although Sevenoaks Bookshop just celebrated 70 years. I've been a customer of theirs for 55 of those years, and it is still going strong. So we do have that sort of representation.
And that, for me, is indicative of why, and I think this is kind of part of your question as well, though, Bird, why national politicians really shouldn't get involved in things down at a local level, you know, and they set directions for things. And you think, you couldn't mandate a 70-year-old bookshop anywhere apart from maybe in Sevenoaks and maybe in Camden Passage in London. Yeah, it has its own life. You couldn't reproduce it anywhere else. You couldn't pick it up and put it somewhere else. So trying to formulate national policy to manage a high street is just ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. You've got to let it be what it is and let it evolve to what it is. I'm not going to get involved in the politics of this, but it drives me nuts. I own Fruitworks in Canterbury, which technically is part of the retail pan of the high street. Okay, we're not a retail shop in any way, shape, or form, but we're treated as if we're complete, outsiders. We're not considered as part of the high street because we don't sell anything, in terms of a product. Our business rates just went up 400%, which is ridiculous. But, and that's because of things that are mandated from a top level. And I think that's your point, isn't it? That as a local councillor, you can make, I think, you can make a much bigger difference to people's lives directly than national politicians who just make policy, basically.
And also, you and I moan about it all the time. And how we
Me
want,
moan?
Yeah. And,
Me
and
moan?
How we
are you
really,
sure?
How we want to really encourage change and how we can get involved. And I'm always saying to you, look, you're not prepared to stand in the arena yet. Would you encourage us to come and go into the community side of politics rather than Paul running for an MP? And I'm serious.
I'm going to do
always,
either.
We're always complaining about this isn't happening or that's not happening or why aren't they doing this? So how do we get involved?
Yes, it's a very different type of role. You have to make space in your life to be able to do it properly. We're fortunate to have a very good MP in Sir Michael Fallon. As a local MP, his surgeries are renowned as being really good ways of helping people to resolve difficulties if they're having them. But a town council role is, you're right, it's much more community-based. You're more likely to be in touch with individual groups and individuals as they're doing positive things for the community. Yeah. That is a really exciting thing, and that's why if you feel you have something to add to that I would encourage anyone who wants to get involved and they can make space in their life to do it. At the town council level, of course, it's a more or less a voluntary thing. There isn't any salary that goes with the job. In fact, I should say, as mayor, I get a very small allowance, though. but I think I think it amounts to £160 a month.
And that's on brass polish, isn't it? For polishing your chain.
I was just going to say.
My evenings polishing the chain. Indeed. Yeah. So it's not not a place where you would go as a career option. But we have some a very good age range on the council, sort of in their 20s up to in their 70s and 80s. Me somewhere in the middle discreetly.
Well, I think that's quite valid to bring up as well, isn't it? When you say we've got time, well, actually, where do we find that time if we're in business? And
mind you, I will say we've also some years ago established a youth council, which is sort of a mirror of the main council. And in the past, it's always been quite difficult to get young people to volunteer to join it. This year, for the very first time, we're actually having contested elections because so many youngsters have put themselves forward.
That's
a major breakthrough for us. So that I think if they learn how what they can, and they have had an impact. The Youth Council has actually been materially positive in putting the House in the Basement project together, the skateboard park was one of their projects, and there are others. They do a live music day where anyone, young person in the town can come along and perform. So they are really proactive. But if they learn from that age how they can interact with local government that facilitates those sort of community activities, then they will always have the ability to build that space into their lives as long as they want to.
Well, they've gained a model, haven't they, that they can replicate.
Correct.
And that's the beauty of that.
Roderick, thank you so much for that. We could talk about it forever. Sadly, we ran out of time. We have to join the newsroom. For the moment, Councillor Roderick Hogarth, Mayor of Seven Oaks, thank you so much for being on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you, Paul.
Cool. We're going to join the newsroom now, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to some more guests.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.
Discussions are being held on Theresa May's latest plan to secure an agreement with the EU, but a leading member of the DUP, Geoffrey Donaldson,